For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Lord, forgive me. I think about this. Conducted, though, the way that we present ourselves. It's conducted. It's guided. I mean, think about it like a train, a little bit of a choo-choo, let a horsey ride away. Excellent. I think different. I apologize. But I can't help but reference the way we present ourselves within that walk of discipline degree. Regardless of the factors, eliminate the variables. It's light outside. The sun's shining. It's very, very dark. It's rare that I found myself in this abyss and I don't have a sense of sustainment. Now I'm conducting myself in this manner. It doesn't condone blame, nor does it rely on a sense of acceptance. Rather, I am fulfilled, sustained within what I've been given. So the testimony of our conscience, and what have I been talking about these last couple of days for the followers, for the listeners? What you confess, what you pray on is no more than the life that you're leading. And for some of us, it's the ultimatum. We've taken it to that point to where it's our God. It's what we're down on our knees praying. It's nothing else in this world. So that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity. Simplicity, right? And I get that. Peace and contentment. Simplicity is also having the confinement of fulfillment. Where does it come from? He provides it for me. I get what I need from Him. I'm nourished. I am fixed intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually, substance-wise, including economically. Well, those that fear the gift fear life itself. If you shall seek God in life, you seek Him in death. So I don't have nothing to worry about. Some of us will say, well, I better be careful. Well, you have something to worry about. I don't. I trust and confide in Him, and I know, regardless of what's going to happen, that He's going to provide for me. My goodness, and I think that's so true. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayer of many. 2 Corinthians 1:11. What does that mean? Help us. Who is us? The original body. You hear me every night. My testament of devotion is I'm working on the body. I'm invested in the church body state. I'm working on the body. I'm invested in the youth of the nation. So help us, the body, the ones that have came before us, the elders, the ones that have tried to pave the way. We created this path. We have this vein for you. This is a safe haven. Call it a religious sanctuary. Call it a safe house if you would. But it's somewhere where you're going to be safe and to where God and Christ are going to be offered to you unconditionally, and you don't have anything to worry about. Now nobody's allowed to make any decisions on you in any way, shape, or form. Imagine that. Gun right upside the head, alive or dead. We think like that. It's very, very different. Lord, forgive me. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. And I hope you will fully understand. 2 Corinthians 1:13. We're not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. That's the big one, though, isn't it? You'll never be forced to walk within a form of belief, regardless of what's written down on paper, that you don't believe in or that doesn't work for you. So what does it actually mean? We are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. If you read it, but it you don't understand it, you don't comprehend it, and I hope you will fully understand. Hope is all you have. The hope of faith and love and belief, that's it. Is there anything else? Well, I don't think so. Lord, forgive me. I really don't think so, and I apologize. But if you shall not understand, and it's not something you're capable of being competent in, even after you read it, your only question, your puzzle, your riddle, it condemns you, then it doesn't apply to you. You're still forgiven. You're still redeemed. It's almost as if there's a nullified, right? There's a sense of action. There's involvement behind it to where you have the ultimatum, and that ultimatum takes you right to the top. No, regardless of what happens here, you go back to Christ, and you're immediately forgiven, you're redeemed. You should always return back to yourself. Bear my own cross, washing of the feet. God, give me, wash me, and cleanse me of my heart, soul, and mind, of my sins and iniquities. Give me the strength, the endurance, to be capable of battling off some of the iniquity that I'm facing. But yet I don't shy away from it. Closing the door, yes, of course. Did you find God or did you lose Christ? Find Christ or did you lose Christ? Very good. Think about what I'm saying. You bring it to life. But I cannot and shall not suffer for Him or for anybody else. See, you don't have to suffer for God and you don't have to suffer for Christ. And Scripture condemning your fellow brothers and sisters or condemning you, the spiritual side of the soul? Look, if I don't understand, I said I don't understand. You heard me. What you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand. Until you're capable of fully understanding, you don't have to be accountable for it. You know, I've never met anybody that was capable nor competent of walking within that belief when they didn't believe in it. If you believe in it, it's right for you, and somehow he must be working within it for you. But if you don't believe in it, there ain't nobody else that can make decisions for you or on you, and it'll never work because nobody will have competency within that discipline and with that degree. It just doesn't work. Lord, forgive me. I think a little bit different. The way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. Proverbs 21:8. And that's the jackpot. That's the golden ticket to heaven right at that exact moment. The way of the guilty is crooked, and we shall not judge nor condemn. But the conduct of the pure is upright. So the acknowledgement is not about the decisions you're making. Righteous, evil, adult, child, child, adult, right or wrong. Rather, it is the conduct of the pure is upright. When you're making the right decisions, you're putting it within his hands. You don't have anything to hide. You're not being judged or condemned by others. Guess what happens? Immediately, you don't have anything to worry about because you're pure and it is upright. You're standing firm and standing solid on the solid foundation of Christ, your Savior and Redeemer. You're forgiven, you're redeemed, the chosen race, one of his people. Very good. When you see your respectful and pure conduct, 1 Peter 3:2, when they see your respectful and pure conduct, who's they? It might be everybody, but I'm imagining it's the substance. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the witnessing of Christ himself. Yes, of course, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. You know, a lot of us, we don't have anything to offer anybody else. And what we do have to offer somebody else, nobody's trying to hear it. No, I said I'll be fine. No, I'm going to turn the cheek. I'm walking away from this discussion. I'll tell you immediately, if it don't involve God, and it's a joke, it's not a joke, but it's a sense of reality, mortality within my own belief system, it better be about God. I've got a bone to pick with you, and I don't want it to be festering up. It better be about God. I'm talking about Christ saving and redeeming here through salvation, the blood, the body. Come on now. Then all people went over Jordan, and the king went over, and the king kissed Barzillai, blessed him, and returned to his own home. 2 Samuel 19:39. We went over, and then the king went over, and then the king kissed and blessed him and returned to his home. We give when we travel, regardless. And when you hear me say travel, the location, the demographic, the season, the hour, the mindset, regardless of what journey you've been embraced in, what darkness of hour, and what storm you're weathering, you can still find him within that. You know why? Because you are witnesses. And God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. 1 Thessalonians 2:10. So undoubtedly, if we're not believers, we're not capable of being witnesses, righteous and blameless, in our conduct towards believers. But those that don't believe in it, or some of us, were scorned, were bitten, right? We're condemned. Chains, jealousy, envy, greed, swallowed alive, 7 deadly sins, cardinal sins, if you would. We conduct those inequities towards ourselves and towards one another's. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not opening the door to that. I don't want it. Somebody opens the door, here they come. And I'm not trying to point the finger. They got jealousy, envy, greed, a whole bunch of hate. And I'm telling you, they're bitten, outright walking sideways. I'm looking at the way that they're leaning over, and it ain't looking good for us. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. You shall return, and you can return after you find Christ. But in the meantime, I don't want you here. Did you know God himself would tell you that? Christ would be the same way. But it's hard for us, isn't it? Alienation of the soul, of the actual spirit that resides inside of us. Think about what I'm saying. You have the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind. They lie within you. It's part of the enactment of why you're alive. So immediately when you're against the gospel, when you're against the praise, when you're bitten, when you're stumbling, when you're stubbing your feet, when you're down on the ground crawling, outright, help, screaming and crying out for help, immediately there is no reform. immediately there is no sanctification. Rather, the confession and proclaiming is no more than the witnessing of you failing yourself. We're meant to fail. We know we're going to make mistakes. It's okay. As long as it goes back to Him. And the moment that it goes back to Him, you don't have nothing to worry about. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I can rejoice. I can proclaim it. So what do I have to offer? What type of conduct? You think about dress policies, code of conduct, excellent word choices towards you believers. I represent tenfold. I got a three-piece suit on. I'm saluting. I'm praising. I'm giving daily. God bless you. How are you? I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I rejoiced. Think about what I'm saying. So it's the conduct that we present to others is the same conduct that we want presented to us, no more, no less. And I think that it's true. And looking intently at the council, Paul said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day." Acts 23:1. Who's your witness? Who's the one denying you? Did you hear Christ say, "Yes, you are saved, you are redeemed, you are forgiven"? You don't have anything to worry about. So the confession is, stop leading yourself astray. Listen at what I said to you. Listen to me. Brothers, I have lived my life before God. The only person that's witnessing the life that I'm leading, the walk that I'm taking, in all good conscience up to this day. It don't matter. You don't have your fellow brothers and sisters condemning you, telling you it's right or wrong. If anything, they're praising you. Can I help you? Did you need something? Ask and you shall receive, right? Seek and ye shall find. So don't judge. Good conscience up to this day, the Holy Spirit being the enactment within the heart, soul, and mind, a direct improvement of life. I seek eternity. Eternity is what you shall have, no more, no less. We proclaim, we testify, and confess what is relevant to us. And so quickly that we point the finger in what's relevant to us, even if it's a form of condemnation, is something that shall condemn others, but it shall not condemn us. But we're the ones that are snickered, the ones that are bitten. That's a tough one. The letter that you sent to us has been plainly read before me, Urza 4:18. I think it all comes out in the wash. Whether it's right, whether it's good, hang it out on the line and let it dry. Sunshine, and it looks very nice outside. Regardless of the testament, the time that's elapsed or passed, if you confess immediately or you let it fester on up, you sweep it underneath the rug and you bury it, you try to put it in the backyard or hide it out in the woodpile, I'm not mad at you. I think it all comes out in the wash. If He is your witness and you're not ashamed, you can proclaim it, you can testify it, you can confess it. I am saved, I am redeemed, I don't have nothing to worry about. Then it'll bring you back to life. It'll bring you back to fullness. You'll have that sustainment that can be found within God in Christ. Remember, your wants and needs can be fulfilled by Him. And He can fulfill it within you to work miracles within others. Very good. It all comes out in the wash. I don't have anything to hide. Part of the sense of being blameless, unconditional love, no excuses. Excellent. And if He rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed from the sensual conduct of the wicked, 2 Peter 2:7. And if He rescued righteous Lot, talk about God, Lot, the reference, more, another talk for discussion, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. When you see somebody bitter, bitten, the conduct is not acceptable, it don't have to change who you are. It's not the weather, it's not the climate, it's not your pulse, the heartbeat, the way you're breathing, or the way that you feel or perceive the world. Immediately, you turn around, you turn the other cheek, you walk right away. I keep telling individuals, I'm going to hit you. I don't want you to be mad at me. I got real good technology. I'm going to hit you. Got the Bible in one hand, taking it, whap, smack you right upside the head. Do you a little bit of good in the world. It all comes out in the wash. I ain't mad at you. Some days I feel like I'm the one that needs to be hit. Walk within that. The sensual conduct of the wicked, sensual, you've agreed that it's acceptable for you, which means that it needs to be your problem. You're never allowed to make decisions on somebody else saying it's acceptable for them. I've decided to condemn them. Well, I mean, years ago, I had somebody make a decision on my family, and I've suffered and they've suffered ever since then. Is it their problem or my problem? That person that made that decision, it's now getting ready to be your problem. You, sensual of the wicked, you've decided that that was wrong or that it was right. And there was a consequence for the decision you made because you overstepped the boundaries of what Christ and God was capable of doing for you. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You don't have to point the finger. You don't have anything to worry about. But the moment you take it within your own hands, here comes God. The moment that the law that's wrote down on paper, black and white, biblical, I'm talking statutes and codes here, becomes God, and God and Christ are no longer being valued, it's sensual to you. It's something you believe in. Not me. It's right for you. For you know how, like a father with his children, 1 Thessalonians 2:11, sheep of the garden of growth, yes, of course, for you know how, the actual walk of competence, like a father with his children, yes, of course. Yes, of course. There is no other way. But when other individuals make decisions on you or for you, boom, you're free to go. I even had some friends over in Marathon County. They came up with this, what was it, free and clear? I mean, I'm trying to get tote loads in at nightly. I mean, I apologize. You don't have anything to worry about. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. Think about what I'm saying. You don't have nothing to worry about. They take it just as far as they can. The Supreme Court, they have a different mentality, a very well mindset. She says, if there's anything that's available to you at any other country or location, you will be allowed to have it immediately, and you don't have anything to worry about. I thought to myself, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Oh my goodness. Finally, we're back at the point to where we can offer everybody sustainment. And it's more important that individuals have sustainment, growth. They're forgiven. They're redeemed. They're seeking eternity within discipline, degree, competence, and means than it is to condemn one another. Look, I don't want to be condemned. And I don't want other individuals condemning me either. So whoever says he abides in him ought to walk the same way in which he walked. 1 John 2:6, isn't it practical? Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. To be Christ-like, not within thought, word, and deed, but the actual competence. Remember the conversion? I am changed. I'm a new person. I have a new life. I'm born again. I'm turned over a new leaf. I am redeemed. I don't have anything to worry about. But that's it. That's the finale. That's the curtain call. That's when the curtain drops on the stage. I ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's for you to decide. But I can promise you this. You are not alive when you're breathing and every decision you're making is coming at the cost and expense of humanity. That is not alive. In fact, you're already dead and it's everybody else's problem that you're dying. Busy living or busy dying, that's a tough one. You ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Very good. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Love this verse. Love it for many reasons. Because I give gratitude to the inequity or into the praise of God. So whether the venue is bright or dark, it goes back to God for me, along with commitment, him being the only witness. Think about what I'm saying. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. I live within the passions of my flesh. I can state every day that I am flesh-seeking ways. Within commitment, God is love, and with consent, I'm not doing anything wrong. So we don't condemn ourselves. Remember, passions are one of the ways we can experience God. We're so quick to point that finger. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the enactment, the substance, the temple, the synagogue lying within? Yes, of course. Don't deny your inner calling. Even if that conscience could be the variable of the check and balance, the scale that's being weighted out, righteous, evil, oh my goodness, have you ever heard of Christ? Thankfully redeemed. Even if you think for 1 second that it's going to be bad, that it's going to be an inequity, that it's going to be something that upheaves you, you shall not worry about it because you are forgiven, you are redeemed. And one of the purest forms of love that we have on earth is when two human beings come together and they hold hands, they give consent to one another, and they get to be united in one with God and with Christ being the leading spirit and the witnessing of it. So falling victim of the flesh doesn't happen as long as the maturity of consent is embraced. Now it's blameless. It's something that you've gained. You've experienced it because of God. In which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's tough though, isn't it? In the sons of disobedience? Because in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, well, he is the one. He's the one that I need, the one that I seek. The sons of disobedience. I think that disobedience is a blessing in disguise. I think it's like a hidden treasure. You're searching for that needle in a haystack. Before you know it, the disobedient behavior of being the evil adult comes back to being rebuked with a confession, forgiveness, repentance. I'm down on my knees, thankfully saved and redeemed. Well, eyes wide open, my friends. Don't you understand? Eyes wide open. That's what this is about. I was once blind, but now I see. So the aspect of what they've got going on, all clear or whatever they had, think about what I'm saying. It's eyes wide open. Now all that's important is if you are stand up, you are competent within your discipline, within your degree, competence and means, and walking within the directive of life that you found to be valuable. As long as you've got sustainment, you're taking care of your own and you're holding it down, and in my case, giving it back to God, you're all clear. You don't have nothing to worry about. And the biblical transformation of that is God is the all. He is the multitude of nations. You can't take it any further. He is the giver and taker. So eyes wide open is having spiritual, intellectual, emotional maturity and being capable of accepting the rights and wrongs of the world, because I can only change self and I only have to deal with what he puts on my plate or what he gives me or denies me. But because of Christ, you're never denied and you don't have anything to worry about. So there's a point to where we convert, we advance, we graduate. No longer am I testifying the scripture, but the scripture is living within me and I'm living within it. I walk within that light. Every day I can be redeemed, saved, joyfully blessed. Think about what I'm saying. I don't have anything to worry about. Eyes wide open is reminding you that what God put on this earth, regardless of biased view, denominational, personal preferences, attachment, emotional belonging, is something that he did. If everything you see, witness, see, speak, hear, goes right back to God, eyes wide open, God help me, this is a good one, then you'll never have anything to worry about. And now you can advance. Now you can have forgiveness. Now you can have an abundance of everything. But the moment that that thorn or that ray of sunlight condemns you, curses you, or puts your fellow brothers and sisters in shackles and chains, you shall not have anything. Because with God you have everything. And without Christ you don't have anything. So let us be reminded of eyes wide open. I don't have nothing to worry about. I'm aware of some of the things that can happen on earth, and I can only change self. Let us wrap this up in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father and Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, remind us to look wide, to look at every sector, to steer clear of the sin, the wickedness, and death, but to look to bless, to redeem, to sanctify, to proclaim. The eyes wide open mindset is that you can be alive within Christ, within commitment, within testament, embrace and love, within different strains of discipline and degree. You are not to be judged, condemned, held back, tortured, or living without. Rather, you can have sustainment and fulfillment. Remind us that it is not our lives. It's not yours. I'll repeat myself. It's not yours. Eyes wide open. that it's his body, it's his life within his time. And if we don't have anything good to offer our fellow brothers and sisters, let us not offer anything at all. With love, with compassion and grace, continue to wash, to cleanse in the heart, soul, and mind, knowing that eternity, that it all comes out in the wash, that we don't have anything to hide or to worry about. With love, with strength, with commitment, we ask for your blessings in our personal, professional, physical, intimate, economical, and substance life, in a sense of continued growth. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Christ our Savior's name we pray. Don't forget to follow Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. Look for daily updates. If you have any questions and you feel like I could reach out to you and I could help you, interpretation, reading of the Bible, doctrine, lecturing, be sure to reach out. Have a very, very blessed day. And don't forget to start seeing the world the way he sees it. And you'll only find love. God bless you. Have a very good day.